The story goes as follows. Long ago, it was found that the area of a black hole horizon behaves as an adiabatic invariant. And then it gets only natural to quantize this adiabatic invariant as it is common in quantum mechanics. And so this idea originally was put forward by Bekenstein, later by Muhanov and Kogan simultaneously, and I should add that Jan Kogan was the first to connect black holes with strings. And there is a quite simple-minded argument in favor almost of tautology, of quantization of the black hole horizon. And it looks as follows. Do not pay much attention to 8 pi. It is just in accordance with present convention, nothing special. So it's some numerical factor. Normal unit for measuring the black hole horizon is the Planck length squared, which is proportional to h. And therefore, it is only natural to insert some generalized quantum number, huge, of course, generalized quantum numbers of the same power as h, which is quite common since this observable certainly has a classical limit. So the power of n should match that of h. And by the way, I take the opportunity to say that there are absolutely no sound arguments in favor of integer n or equidistant spectrum of the horizon, contrary to numerous assertions in literature. But this is a separate story, and we have no time to discuss it now. Then, if we agree to quantize the horizon area, it is only natural to say that it is split into, I would call it sites. People from loop quantum gravity, there will be some connection to it, call it punctures by their own reasons, but let it be sites. And then we have each site, each contribution depends on some quantum number or set of quantum numbers, J. And on the other hand, there could be quantum numbers of which the contribution is independent. And therefore, it is only natural to write it down in the following way, where nu Jm is the number of sites with given quantum numbers. Then, according to the famous theorem by Bekenstein and Hawking, the entropy of a black hole is its the area of the horizon divided by 4Lp squared. So we arrive at the following formula for the entropy, and of course we can sum free m. And by m, and then this is a total number of sites was given j. That's all. Now, we will be interested, I think. We will be interested in the number. To calculate the entropy, we have to know this is a log of the number of quantum states. And of course, this number depends crucially on the assumptions made on the distinguishability of the sites. And again, I will not bore the audience with arguments, but I can claim that the only reasonable assumption is that only sites with the same J and M are indistinguishable. Everything else is. Then the entropy can be written as follows. This is log of factorials of all number of all sites divided by partial factorials, which is indistinguishable. And of course, this entropy, this expression for entropy by itself has absolutely nothing in common with the area. So how it comes that the proportionality arises? To this end, we will calculate, I think that there should be one more argument. I have missed a slide which is quite crucial for my presentation. And I'll recall that there is so-called holographic bound, according to which the entropy of any spherical non-rotating body confined inside the sphere of this area is bounded as follows, with the equality attained only for a body that is a black hole. It looks very strange, since contrary to common wisdom, the entropy is bounded not by the volume of a body, but by the area, surrounding area. There is absolutely no contradiction with common wisdom in it, since for any object but black hole, this bound is extremely mild. One can check it by simple calculations. And the whole simple proof of this inequality looks as follows. Let's allow this body, discussed body, to collapse, spherical symmetric body. Then, during the collapse, its entropy can only increase and collapse to a black hole. Then the entropy goes to this one, which is related to the area of this type, but this area is certainly smaller than the initial one. This is the simplest possible proof. But in fact, it's much more intricate arguments used to prove it. And we will need the following formulation of it, that among the spherical surfaces of a given area, it is a surface of a black hole horizon that has a maximum entropy. It's alternative formulation. And now, this is a partial answer to the question how these quantities can be proportional. To this end, we will calculate the maximum entropy for given n, a sort of microcanonical entropy, but not energy, but area fixed in this way. And then, again, I'll skip really simple and straightforward calculation, which demonstrate that the number of sites with given J and M is proportional to this exponential. This is the Lagrangian multiplier with which M enters the problem. And then we have a sort of a circular equation for this Lagrangian multiplier, where J is a statistical weight, so total number of states with given J. G is the statistical weight. And this circular equation, and as the maximum entropy is indeed proportional to the area. in the semi-classical limit, all the quantum numbers should be large. Then we arrive at the following formula, for the area. So this is the first part. What is the spectrum of a black hole? Now, what is the spectrum? What is the spectrum of its radiation? Thank you. Spectrum of its radiation. Again, I'll appeal to a thought experiment led by Bekenstein, and he demonstrated that the minimum change of the horizon area under an adiabatic process is as follows. And of course, Lp squared is proportional to the Planck constant, and there is no quite natural that the violation of the adiabatic invariance is a quantum effect. But then it means, if we recall the previous formula, of course, the radiation process should consist of change in the sites, of the number of sites. Something should be crossed out. Maybe, in principle, something could be added to it, but it cannot. It cannot due to this. Due to the quantum effect, there are no combinatorial frequencies due to this limit. Only radiation occurs when a site of a given J disappears. Then this is the change in the number, and then this is the of the quantum number, and this is the typical frequency obtained. So we arrive at the discrete spectrum, or discrete radiation spectrum, with minimum frequency of this type. In fact, even finite number of lines, since anyway, any quantum numbers of this type should be at least unity, there is a maximum J also, and it is absolutely pure theoretical point, since there is exponential decrease with life. So now the natural assumption is that the radiation probability gamma J should be proportional with given J, radiation of given J should be proportional to the occupation number, corresponding occupation number, should be proportional to this expression, and in this and intensity should be proportional to this one, and we obtain almost free the Wien profile for the radiation now sort of the correspondence principle with an obvious extra factor, a sort of oscillator strength, we obtain the following expression for the radiation intensity of this stuff. And then there is a question usually asked, that we have the only dimensional parameter in the problem, which is the mass of a black hole. Now, how it comes that with this parameter, the distance between the lines should be on the same order of magnitude as the width of a line. So we will not get, discrete spectrum. The trick is that there is almost one more dimensional parameter in the problem, which is pi. And then we can calculate the ratio between the line width and the distance between the lines. It looks as follows. This expression is about at most 1/2, and with this factor, we obtain 10 to the minus 3. So it is a really discrete spectrum. And now the total intensity, in fact, is very close to the naive Stefan Boltzmann one expression, which is 0.16. It's quite natural, since there is no really Gibbs region here. And since the minimum frequency is proportional to t, and t is by itself proportional to h. So this contribution is small anyway, and the result refers to photons and gravitons and can be easily extended with statistical weights to anything else. Now, the last question is it observable? Is it observable or just theoretical toy? Let me present some arguments that it is, and it is rather close. This prediction can be checked with, from the present observational data with some efforts. Analysis of present observational data. So, and of course with some assumptions on the density of black holes. So, first of all, I'll discuss the situation with solar system, our solar system. And it can be demonstrated from the analysis of the perihelia rotation for the Earth and Mars, that the density of dark matter in the solar system, around 1-2 astronomical units, is smaller than 10 to the minus 18 gram per centimeter. And as far as I know, this is the best upper limit which exists for the solar system. Now, we will present estimates for the expected signal from primordial black holes under the optimistic assumption that the density of those black holes is about 10 to the minus 19. The point is that the black hole with the initial mass smaller than this expression cannot survive till our time due to their radiation. And if masses are larger than 10 to 17, the signal gets hopelessly small. And the estimates for reasonable masses are as follows. I'll attract attention to something like this line. It will be of interest, with typical frequency of about 5 MeV. And so this is the number density of their typical separation between them, temperature, and the flux of photons from a black hole, and the flux density on the Earth. It looks as follows. And then the typical signature of radiating black holes would be 2-3 relatively strong lines in the spectrum. For instance, with energies, again, as I mentioned, for this type, 5, 10, 15 MeV for this mass. And the plot below demonstrates that the sensitivity of the SPS spectrometer aboard integral is sufficient to observe the line. Here it is. So this is around just this is the sensitivity. And this is a prediction. So we see that the analysis of this region, which is time consuming and but quite doable, can detect or disprove the existence of this effect. And uh, So also it can be also demonstrated that this assumption for the black hole density in our solar system doesn't contradict any observational upper limits on their density. It's tedious analysis, but it, I mean, so these limits, those limits, do not preclude the searches for quantized primordial black holes in the solar system, and following, well, late, well, Telegdy, one should try. Thank you.